What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Let's Talk About It with your boy, Loami Richardson. I have a special guest here with me today, no other than my good friend, Brandon Mascarenhas. How you doing, my brother?
Doing good, man. Doing good. Good to see you.
All right. Good to see you, man. This is my brother from another. We have been friends for, man, a little bit over 10 years. Originally, when we connected, I think we did a weekend trip to Trinidad and Tobago. Am I correct?
That's correct.
Trinidad and Tobago. We connected over some peanut punch, hanging out there at the where they had the festivals at, man. Some 2, 3, 5 for the morning, chopping it up.
Oh, it
was a great time. Since then, man, we haven't been separated. So he's been a good friend, somebody who has been very influential in just helping with me with my brand, my website, and just everything that is social media and tech. And so I wanted to bring him on today because he is one of the few people that I talk to about the new age of technology, because I, for myself, don't really fully understand it. And every time I speak to him about it, he's just be putting me on game. And so I just wanted to bring him onto the podcast and to share some information about, you know, what is Web3? What is this new metaverse that everyone keeps talking about? What are NFTs? The blockchains, I'm sure that you guys heard these concepts before. So I wanted to bring my brother Brandon on to share some little insight as to who he is, what he's doing, and his expertise. So Brandon, if you can let the audience know who you are, tell me a little bit what you're doing. Yeah, man, the floor is yours.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I appreciate you having me on. And yeah, we've definitely been around a while, and it's been fun working with you in different capacities. So yeah, I've been kind of involved in content creation for the better part of 10 to 12 years via video or, you know, digital media or whatever. And then it was about 2020, the end of 2020, some friends were talking to me about cryptocurrencies and NFTs. And you know, I remember hearing about Bitcoin way back in, I think it was 2012, 2013, and saw a few things on Twitter about it, but I didn't really think much about it. But yeah, so they're talking to me about this whole Bitcoin cryptocurrencies, and that's kind of where it started. And it really piqued my interest because it was just something new, something different. And from there, it kind of opened the door into NFTs. And started looking into that and that kind of technology, which is kind of cryptocurrency and NFTs. It's under the umbrella of blockchain. So technology. So that's kind of where I started my research and seeing how I could implement that technology into what I do. At that time, I was working for a company in their marketing division and slowly started to phase out of that and went full-time into as a full-time artist and combining Web3 and blockchain tech with my art. And it's been fun and rewarding. So yeah, that's
man, one of the things I've always appreciated about you, man. I think this is, we have the same kind of spirit, right? There's this entrepreneurship spirit where it's like, I don't want to be boxed in. I want to kind of really indulge in so many different things, man. And so I've always appreciated your perspective and your just your passion for art and design and your creativity. And you know when you was working, you know, at that job, you know, talking, it's like, yeah, it pays the bills, but this ain't it, man. This ain't, you know, I have a niche that I want to kind of explore my own talents and my own gifts. And just to be able to see you, like, you know, create art, man, like, in the concept that you come up with, it's super dope. Actually, one of your one of your art pieces that's actually on the background of my screen computer at work, man. The one with that you did.
Oh, I love it.
People flag and all that. So, and so I know that you was creating art to create NFTs. Now, explain to somebody who is watching or listening to this, you know, what is an NFT? I know that it's been a catchphrase that everybody's been or term that everybody's been using, but what is an NFT? How is that connected to cryptocurrency? You know, what is it? How can people benefit from it? And is it something that people should learn about?
Yeah. So NFT is short for non-fungible token, and essentially, it's See, the best way to describe it is if you had a sports card, say you had a rare one of one Derrick Rose rookie NBA card, right? So that would be a non-fungible token. There's only one of that. And if you were to trade that for, say, money or for another card, another rare card, you'd get, I don't know, a rookie, whatever that same value is of another rookie card or other basketball card. You'd make that transaction. So you're giving away a card, you're getting a card that of two non-fungible tokens. So it's not really, non-fungible token doesn't have to pertain to cryptocurrency or blockchain. It's just kind of a term of an asset or something that is a one of one. It's unique. There's nothing else like it.
Okay, so an NFT. So you, sorry to interrupt. So you said an NFT is like in the concept of a one of one. So having you use a specific word like it's a unique, rare piece of something. Am
It
I
doesn't
correct in
necessarily,
interpreting that?
yes, but it doesn't necessarily have to be rare. It's just that I guess the main concept is it's kind of unique and almost there's nothing else like it. So, for example, if I did the opposite side of that would be a fungible token. I guess a simple term or a simple way to look at that or example would be our currency. So if I give you a $5 bill, you can give another $5 bill back to me, and it'd be this. It's two separate pieces of paper, but they're the same thing. It's just interchangeable. It doesn't really have any unique value because there's so many of them. So yeah, a non-fungible token is, think of it more of just like it's unique, one of one, potentially one of one, or very few of asset, whether
Okay,
it's,
asset was the word that you used that caught my attention. Okay, all right. So how is that, and how can we own that asset? What kind of NFTs do we look into? How does this differ from, cryptocurrency that I mentioned earlier?
Sure. So, really, I guess it didn't really come into people's peripheral or view until it started to be associated with cryptocurrency. So blockchain technology is kind of, you think of that as the foundation, and from there, cryptocurrency, or tokens, crypto tokens kind of came out, or they did come out of blockchain technology. So NFTs in and of themselves, also came out of black, are used and formed out of blockchain technology when they're related to cryptocurrency. This might be a little confusing. I don't want to get too far into the weeds, but so let's take a cryptocurrency, let's say Ethereum, which is, considered the number two cryptocurrency that's available, Bitcoin being number one. And that would be the most widely used cryptocurrency associated with particular NFTs. So NFTs, as it pertains to crypto and blockchain, have different use cases. How we've seen it, how it's become most popular, is as it pertains to art, and then also little profile pictures, what they call PFPs for short, profile pictures, or little avatars and little cartoon characters or whatever. So those particular cartoon characters or art become assets, and people start trading those within the Ethereum ecosystem. Like I said, I don't want to get too far into the weeds and get out there, but as far as people getting into it, it's definitely something that I would always advocate people researching that and getting to know that. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's something that everyone should do right now, because definitely worth understanding how it works and how it operates before diving headfirst into that.
So just like anything, when it comes to stocks, when it comes to real estate, there's has to be a level of knowledge and understanding of what you're getting into, what you're going to be investing in. Am I correct in saying that?
For sure, yeah.
Okay, but it is NFTs a lot of good option for people to consider investing their money in, especially as an artist. You being an artist, you being someone who does a lot of creation, how have you used your art, and how has the NFT world, the blockchain and everything like that, helped you as an artist as you're creating your art and to generate income and assets for yourself.
Yeah, so what's unique about going the route of digitizing your art and creating an NFT out of it specifically, well, a couple of reasons. One, it go back to that uniqueness of it. So if like I create a painting or some digital art or a photograph or a video, and I convert it or turn it into an NFT, I can say there's only going to be one of this, and it becomes this, it can be duplicated, people can copy it, whatever, but there's a unique crypto code in it that verifies that it's mine, it's unique to me. Unless I sell it to somebody else, then they own it, and there's proof that it's an authentic piece. So within NFTs, when on the digital side, they have these things called smart contracts, and everything is built within this thing that they call smart contract. When you write the code for it in the smart contract, you can say every time I sell a piece of art, or when I sell a piece of art to you, Luami, you hold on to that. Now, if you decide to sell that to somebody else, within that smart contract, I can say I get a percentage of royalty every time it gets resold. So say you sell it on to somebody else for, let's say, $100, but I get 10% of that. So I get $10 from that resale. And that can be in perpetuity. So each time that thing resells, I'll get 10% of each sale forever. You know, you can write that into the smart contract of your piece. So it becomes... It can become attractive to artists in any format, whether you're a musician, a photographer, whatever, thinking about the lifetime of your work, especially if people see value in your work and they want to resell it for, you know, make money off that. You as an artist is always going to have this little bit of residual. Now, I can say that, and it's not like it's going to happen all the time. You know, it just depends on how active a person, an artist is out there selling their stuff, getting known, getting recognized and all that. So,
which is something I do want to highlight, based on what you just said, because I think we're in a social media age in which it seems like everyone's winning. There's this path of success that is so super easy. If you just do NFTs, if you understand crypto and you could be a millionaire like me and drive this Lambo, but yeah. there's as you're explaining, especially how NFTs can be an asset or a way to generate income for artists, whether you're a musician, a painter, whatever the case may be, there's still a level of work that you have to do. You still have to put your art out there. You still have to make connections. You still have to put in the work. It's not just say one click and now I'm an instant millionaire. And so I appreciate the fact that you are emphasizing that point, that if you do see at if, you know what I'm saying, if as an artist you want to go down this route of understanding what NFTs are and making income for yourself and generating creating those contracts, and as you just mentioned, and making residual income off your art, you still have to put in the work. So let me ask you this: what excites you the most about the future of NFTs, you know, especially as someone who's an artist and somebody who does art for a living? What excites you most about a feature of these NFTs or these non-fungible token? Did I say that right?
Fungible, yeah.
Fungible. Sounds like fungus.
I think that all the time. I think fungus all the time. I appreciate the technology and where it's going just in general. You know, I would consider you a tech head, as we've discussed over, you know, many conversations, especially with the whole AI thing coming about and its use cases and whatnot. So for me, for NFTs, it's like, how is this type of technology, and I guess when you get down to the root of it, blockchain, how is this being used to improve the lives of people? And when it comes to NFTs, you know, right now, again, it's been associated with profile picture, you know, digital, for lack of a better term, digital trading cards. They're not digital trading cards, but like people will create a whole 10,000 or 5,000 unit piece, little cartoons and sell those trading cards, or like one of one pieces of art or photography. So that's been great. But NFTs can also be used, when the smart contract's written, it can be used as like a ticket into an event. It can be used as, they're even talking about like using it to do real estate contracts and real estate business dealings. And so that's what excites me, is like, how is this technology going to be used moving forward? Yes, it's great for art, and it's great to see it being used in this capacity, but what other use cases is it going to be used for, and how can it be leveraged to improve the lives of people, whether it's the medical field, whether it's real estate, whatever it is? It's just I think the future is bright for that, so I'm excited for that.
So you mentioned something about blockchain. Can you explain to the audience what is blockchain? How does that connect with NFTs, and in the most simplest term? Because I kind of understand the concept of what blockchain is, but if you could tell the audience, what is blockchain? Just explain what blockchain
is. Sure. So if you think about, just in the name itself, blockchain, it's literally, it's this computational code that's written. When you think of a block of information that has like the date, and in the simplest terms, there's going to be more information than that, but like a date, the name, the ownership, all that, all residing in this block. Okay. So you have one block that is written with all that information, and then it's connected to another block. And then between that block, there's a digital chain. So in simplest terms, blockchain. So let's take Bitcoin, for example. There's only going to be so many blocks written, so many tokens. There's a finite number of Bitcoin, but each time a transaction is made, so for example, if you buy, let's say you buy one Bitcoin, that transaction of you buying is one block in the whole big chain. It shows the transaction that you bought it. It also shows who you bought it from. It gives a date, it gives all this information, and it like seals it in there. And then that has to just kind of be linked to all these other blocks, and they kind of stack on top of each other. That's the best, simplest, visual representation I can try to give. But a number of years ago, I don't remember quite how long ago. So blockchain has kind of been used for a while, and a lot of businesses that used it for efficiency. So for example, Walmart had this whole, the big conglomerate that they are, they had this whole operation of like manufacturing from overseas, having it shipped over to the United States, and then distribution, then trying to get to all the different stores, and then the people buying the products. Well, there was a breakdown in like where products were coming from. They were losing money in transit and losing material and merchandise. And so they implemented blockchain technology to keep track of inventory. They kept track of like from the time it was manufactured to the time it came stateside and then to point of sale. And what that did with the blockchain technology, they were able to keep record, immaculate, perfect record of where everything was. And that helped kind of close all these gaps, because now they were able to see, well, this bicycle that was manufactured at a certain time made it to the United States here, and now went to some store in Colorado, and then Johnny bought it. So they were able to see every single step of this transaction. And so that's one use case of blockchain technology. It's kind of this almost perfect, immaculate record of something, transaction that is being made.
That makes it life much more easier as far as, just trailing from the start of the process to the end of the process without having to go up different loops. And
yeah,
it seems to make businesses much more efficient, is what you're saying, with this blockchain technology.
Yeah, yes. But not just businesses. There's different companies that have their own blockchain that are implementing that. They're trying to implement that into healthcare, and how does that work through patient care, and even in third world countries where the death rate of infants or you know, certain demographics. They're trying to keep track of all these different points of data. And so using blockchain technology gives a more concise, precise point of view of where all these things are. And then they can start to fill in those gaps and squeeze those gaps to almost zero with this type of technology and information. So that would be, I guess, more use case of healthcare.
So with this blockchain technology, I know that you, in our conversations, you made mention of Web 3.0. Apparently we're in the Web 2.0. And I kind of had to do a quick Google search of understanding it. But how much of this is connected with the new metaverse that we're seeing? Or is there a connection with NFTs, Web 3.0, cryptocurrency, blockchains? Because there seems to be this fascination now with the metaverse. On Facebook changing its name to Metaverse and people going into this virtual space. How much of that is connected with the NFTs with blockchain Web 3.0? And how can people get into this Metaverse? And, well, not even get into it, but what is it that we should know about this Metaverse that should intrigue us to explore in that space?
So, yeah, all those are interconnected. I think the Metaverse definitely is, I mean, it's still here, it's still there. The Metaverse isn't just one place. There can be different companies that they'll just say, come join our Metaverse. And so it'd be like, come to our physical space. You know, we have, it'd be like a company having their own physical warehouse and their own environment. So Microsoft is developing a Metaverse, like you said, Facebook, which is now Meta. So yeah, it's a virtual place. Obviously, there was a ton of hype around it, and you know, I think we're definitely a long ways away from it being something that people really get into. Because I don't know, I feel like at the end of the day, everyone still craves human connection and still wants to be in person, and that whole premise of Metaverse is this kind of virtual reality, and not necessarily you have to have the virtual goggles, because you can be on your computer, laptop, or even on your phone and be in the Metaverse. And that is just connecting with other individuals. It would be like, let's see, what would it be? Like if you were, this isn't necessarily a Metaverse, but if you think, okay, so you're playing video games with somebody and you join somebody across the globe and you guys are in a lobby waiting to play a game or whatever. In a sense, that's kind of like how the Metaverse would work. You're interacting with somebody, maybe you're talking through the mics and you have your little avatar. There's still a lot of hype. I think we're still a long ways from it being something that's efficient, becomes more mainstream. At the end of the day, I think, people are still going to crave human connection. And so, but we'll see, maybe it'll become bigger than it is. And as far as it pertains to Web3, you know, Web3 it's been talked about for 10, 11 years. And it was, when I first heard about Web3, it was like 2013 or 14. And it was kind of, the way it was proposed to me, it was like this nefarious thing that was coming about in the future. And we need to be careful of Web3. Now it's like completely flipped and everyone is saying we need to embrace Web3. And the whole concept behind Web3 as opposed to Web2 that we're in now is this whole concept of decentralization. We can talk about that in a little bit if you want, but decentralization.
Yes. Actually, what is Web 2? Because I want you to transition into that. What is Web 2.0, Web 3.0?
Sure.
Yeah, what is Web 2.0? What is Web
3.0? So, actually, I only need to start back with like Web 1. Web 1. So Web 1 was, you know, the dawn of the internet. The internet and the World Wide Web, obviously two different things, but when we first got onto the internet and started using the web, you know, way back in the late 90s, AOL or something like that, or was it Netgear or Netscape, I think it was, it was almost like a one-sided read-only transaction. So news articles or somebody would write a blog, you would read that, but as a reader, you couldn't engage, you couldn't write back anything to it. Eventually Web 2 came along and it was more of the back and forth transaction. So, you could leave comments, like you read a blog, now you can leave a comment on the blog saying that was a great article, thanks for writing that. Also in that came the Facebooks, all the social media platforms where you started to have a voice on the web using the internet. Like you were able to start posting pictures, you were able to start posting captions or essays or anything you wanted. The caveat was you had to use these big conglomerate companies, Google, Facebook, Instagram, or whatever. So there was kind of like this partial ownership of your information that, and as we've seen over the last decade of people fighting, Facebook owns all your ownership, I'm getting off Facebook because they own my stuff, whatever. So that's kind of been the downside, or what people might perceive as the downside of Web2, is this: while I'm expressing myself, I'm sharing this stuff, it's my life, it's great, but yet these companies still own my material. So the concept of Web3 was part of Web2 in that I'm still able to create content and put it out onto the internet and for the world to see, but it's going to be in this decentralized fashion, meaning I'm going to own all of my content. I'm going to use platforms that just exist, that have no walls or barrier. There's nothing in their terms of use to say they own any of my stuff. They're just giving me this platform to create my entity, my brand, whatever. And so I own 100% of whatever I produce, any content, whatever. It's not going to be co-branded with Google or Facebook. And so that has been what's been so attractive to so many people that are into Web3 or looking into Web3, is this concept of sole ownership, a decentralization.
Now, are there some examples on like websites or anybody that's or companies that are using this 3.0, Web 3.0 currently?
Yeah, so I mean, when you get back to like blockchain and cryptocurrency and NFTs, the idea of well, let's take it, for example, if you have like a stock exchange or a crypto exchange or even a bank, that's centralized, right? So you buy your assets, your coins, your money, or your stocks from this particular, let's say Robinhood, for example. You buy your stuff from them and your stuff is held there. Robinhood is centralized and they're holding your assets. So while they on paper it says it's yours, they're still holding it for you. So there's now, in terms of finances, there's what they call digital wallets, where if you were to buy cryptocurrencies or NFTs, you would buy those and then you would put it into your digital wallet. Like there's one called MetaMask, and it works with your computer. So your MetaMask is going to hold your cryptocurrency, your NFTs, and that's solely yours now. Like nobody has control over that until you get rid of that. So that would be one case. Yes, there's multiple different there's multiple companies or websites. The social media aspect is they have a long ways to go to do anything with that. And I don't know off the top of my head, or I can't remember the names of any social media websites that are trying to make a name for themselves in the way of Web3 decentralized. Just because Facebook and all these other ones are so big, and they're going to do everything they can to try to keep the
Right.
business.
Own your information. But I can understand why that is intriguing for individuals and for people that were decentralized, right? I'm seeing that word being used even amongst politicians, right? Especially when in the context of finance and money. So it'd be interesting to see the direction that technology will go, especially as we enter into that phase. But as we conclude, I want to ask you, what are some good resources, videos, if somebody is interested, especially as an artist, somebody who creates art or a photographer or a musician, whatever way that you utilize for any artists that's out there, what are some, if they want to know more about NFTs, if they want to know more about blockchains or Web 3.0, current, cryptocurrency, what are some resources, some things that have helped you, whether it be people that you checked out on YouTube, books that you've read, blogs that you've read. If somebody wants to know more information, where can they go understand all of these things?
Sure. First, I'd say like if social media is your thing, Twitter is kind of the, it's the place where all that information or like the most user participation is when it comes to NFTs and crypto. Like, that's just kind of, I don't know why or how that became the main social media platform for NFT artists or crypto people, but Twitter is that place. So if you have a Twitter account or if you're into Twitter, it doesn't take much. Just search NFTs and or cryptocurrency, whatever, and you'll start seeing, you'll enter that realm of Twitter. And that's a good place. That can be a little daunting because there's just so much there. Honestly, where I started was YouTube. Just simple search of what is NFT or what is blockchain or what is cryptocurrency. And literally there's, there's like over 10,000 different cryptocurrencies out there. I mean, just tokens, whatever. And from there, there's different NFT options. There's a website called NFT Now. If you just Google NFT Now, and I can't remember if it's .com or I think it's .com, but just Google NFT Now. That's kind of they're a news outlet as it pertains to NFTs and cryptocurrencies, but also very informational. If you go to Coinbase.com, that's a crypto exchange, but within that, they have this whole education library encyclopedia center that you can just spend hours looking at all this information. It gets a little into the weeds, but it's a good just matter of fact resource place. But yeah, okay. YouTube, NFT Now, or Coinbase, or you know, even just a simple Google search of these different things is a good place to start, because really there's a lot of information out there.
All right, and if my audience and whoever's watching right now wants to follow you and like, you know what, Brandon, I appreciate the information you shared. I want to see what you're doing in the NFT art world. I want to follow your art. I want to be able to follow your thoughts and insights on Twitter. Where can they follow you? Where can they find?
So primarily right now, I just use Twitter and Instagram. So Bmask, B and then M-A-S-C, and then underscore art, A-R-T. So Bmask underscore art. That's going to be my handle for both Twitter and Instagram. Website is in transition right now, so it's under construction. So otherwise, I'd give that address. yeah. But yeah, that's kind of where I'm at right now, and just kind of plugging along, doing my thing.
All right. Well, man, listen, I just want to appreciate you for coming on to, you know, onto the podcast, onto the show. I know it was last minute, but I was like, you know what? I wanted to really start providing information for people who have questions about, you know, various topics, right? Let's talk about it. And it today was NFTs. It was about blockchains. It was about Web 3.0. So this was an introduction to everybody who wanted to better understand what these concepts are. What is that metaverse? What is an NFT? What is a blockchain? So if this intrigued you enough to research more, hopefully this was a bit, this, you know, that podcast will help you, you know, go check out, you know, Coinbase, to go check out NFT Now, and really educate yourself in this space, because I really believe, as often as Brandon and I talk about these type of things, it's not coming, it's now, and the world is shifting. We need to be better. We need to better understand how the world is shifting and how we can utilize this new technology to our benefit, not only to help us financially, but to generate opportunities as well as generational wealth. So I just want to thank you again, Brandon, for hopping on, man, sharing your wisdom. I'm super happy and excited about the things that you're doing, bro. So anytime, when it comes to anything, technology, anything arts-wise, this is the guy I come to, because his insight, his wisdom, and it's just his eye for these things has been phenomenal. I know because of him, I got into the NFT world for a little bit, trading basketball cards, and that was fun, man, trying to get these special concepts and arts and these different cards, and you know, doing trades and things of that sort. And I made a little bit of money doing it as well. I just realized, like, yo, if there's so much to learn, but the little bit that I did understand, man, it's a very exciting world today to get into and to learn about. So I just appreciate you, man, coming in.
Of course,
man. And coming on and sharing your insights. So, and, you know, if you guys want to, I'll give a follow, Bmask underscore art. on IG and Twitter. You can follow me on Luambi Richardson on my IG, and as well as the Let's Talk About It podcast on YouTube, Spotify, as well as Google Podcast. So again, thank you so much, Bradley, for joining, man. And to everyone else, until next time, peace.
All right. See ya.